السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. My dear respected brothers and sisters, before we move forward, one very beautiful dua to open our hearts and mind to the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma allimna bima yanfa'una. Oh Allah, teach us that which will benefit us. These halaqas, the point of these halaqas is not just to increase our knowledge and to know things that can actually benefit us in this world, in the akhirah. Our taqwa is increasing, our amal are a lot better. That should be coming through these halaqas. وَانْفَعْنَا بِمَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. Oh Allah, give us benefit from whatever you have already taught us. So the dua covers both sides. But Allah, teach us that which is beneficial for us, and that what we have already learned, Allah, give benefit to us through it. So this dua is very beautiful if we can memorize that. رَبِّ زِدْنِ عِلْمًا is also one of the dua that regularly it has to be done at least 100 times in the day or night time. Because when we are learning, obviously this ilm is of Rasulullah, it's important that the actions are done correctly with it. That will bring the nur and the changing of kafiyat and circumstances. So last time, quick review, last time we talked a little bit about the contributions of ulama from the subcontinent area. A lot of non-Arab ulama have done so much, sometimes they are unspoken of. This is why it was mentioned again and again that this scholar has done this research, these books. So if you go more into it, especially the youngsters, I would encourage them that if you're taking interest, it's better to give more time and to learn advanced level of Quran, Hadith and Fiqh. Because we are touching the bare minimum through this halaqa, just a little bit of what should be learned. But a lot of work has been done from the ulama from the subcontinent area. Last time we already covered some famous and misleading questions that come up. Are you Hanafi? Are you Shafi? Are you Muslim? Things like that. So I hope that it's clear up to there. We don't have to say the whole thing. If somebody has missed any of these sessions, they can listen to it. It's being recorded. One of the basic points would be difference between hadith and sunnah. Sunnah or hadith mein farq. Who understood this point? Koi samjha sakta hai? Pichli dafa ye baat hui thi.
Sunnah comprised of iddat and
doing.
Sunnah is practice.
Ji ji ji. So we won't always find hadith in matters, but you will find sunnah because the way Sahaba did it, then that will become the sunnah for us. So Khulafa'i Rashideen, that will include the implemented way. Jo tariqa amli taur par kiya ja sakta hai, the practical way of our deen, that's what sunnah is. And hadith, you'll find many hadith that are just particular to Rasulullah. They are not to be followed. Some of them about miracles of Rasulullah, that's just for us to know and respect and honor the Prophet. So that was all covered. And then some of the terms of what are those things to avoid. Haram kya hai, makruh kya hai, we already done these things. Inshallah, these sessions are important. If we miss, then we have to listen to it. It's not like we have to do them again and again. Just go back on the website. I think it's being uploaded every week. You can listen to what was said. So one last point, and then we're going to be starting the book. This point is about the 73 groups. Many people, they think that it's just any group, and you can just say, if you see a new group, you just say that this is part of the 73. This is part of the 73. It's not up to regular people to decide. This is also the job done by the scholars. They look at where does the difference start from. If a group in the Ummah is formed on the basic of Masail al-Furu'iyah, Masail which are branches and not fundamentals. For example, Fiqh. Fiqh is not a fundamental thing. It's actually something which is derived. It's taken out. These are results of a lot of effort done. So if there is differences in that, and a group follows a particular type of fiqh, that's not a different sect from the ummah. You know, a lady came to a shaykh and she said, do you follow the imams or do you follow Quran and a hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ? And she said, don't follow the imams. The four imams are one of the four sects. And he said, she said that therefore, that's how our knowledge is right now. So from 73, four are these four imams. You know, that's very wrong to say, because the majority of the ummah is Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, 97%. So to say that these are firqas, or to, they are different groups, that means most of them are going into the hellfire, Allah a'yadu billah, right? So we should be very, very clear on these points, that from the 73, one group is attaining salvation, the rest are not. So who are those groups? Which ones are they? Did any scholar try to point them out? Now those groups are related to usul, principles and fundamentals. Is Allah one? How is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah ka jism kaisa hai? Allah ka... We don't go into these details, right? But there are groups that did go into it. And then there are groups that went into how the angels are. Then there are groups that went into how the Quran had come into existence. So each of these fundamental points started to divide the ummah. They stayed away. They gave preference to their own research. So it became a whole group. And their minorities were other things, but the aksariya, the majority, has always been the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That means that covers all the four imams and mujtahideens of that time. Now I can quickly give some numbers of how the 73 came into effect. Allama Tibi Rahmatullah Ali is a very famous scholar on this matter. He pointed out by numbers, he pointed out, this is just for our knowledge, we don't have to really memorize or anything, but if a question comes up, how are these 72 distributed? Yattahattar bante kaise hain? So first, he said there is the Mu'tazila. Okay. In the Mu'tazila, you can find this also, there's a book called Talbis Iblis Ibn Jawzi Rahmatullah Ali. Many of the scholars, they did try to indicate which ones are these groups that the Ummah is divided into. So Mu'tazila, there's 20 sects within the Mu'tazila. Okay, it's just the numbers, how we can find that, how this 73 works. Then we have the Khawarij. This is also 20 groups here, 20 there. Then we have the Rawafiz, and some of the Shias are also part of this. Rawafiz has also many groups. Scholars have said 22 are within the Rawafiz. So we have right here, we have 40 and then 62. Then from, is a group that used to be called Murji'a. If we study Islamic history as well, that's also a different subject. But as you learn, in every time of the Sahaba and afterwards, the Tabi'een, there were people, the batil, the falsehood that would stand up. Different aqaid, they used to come up, but scholars would then take care of that and explain the correct view. So from the Murji'a, there are five. Then there is Jabbariya. And each of these groups have different aqidahs. So we don't have time to go into all of it. Just want to mention the numbers so we can understand how this is added up. So Allama Tibi Rahmatullah Ali, he pointed out in this form. So Jabbariya, then he said there are the Mushabbiha, Najariya, and Mushabbiha. This is one, and this is one. So here you'll find it adds up to 72. And Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that we have been talking about, that's 73. This is majority of the Ummah. Yani aksariyat Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah ki hai. Why is that? Because they hold on to the Sahaba Ikram, the rope of the Sahaba Ikram, and their sayings of the Sahaba. You'll find in this, all of these, they will have ahadith, they will have ayat, but they will do the interpretation themselves. They say, according to us, this is what it means. But when it comes to Sahaba, as-sunnah wal-jama'ah, the sunnah wal-jama'ah, we covered sunnat of Rasulullah, sunnat of Khulafai Rashideen. Wal-jama'at means the consensus of scholars of every time, every age. So in this time, every age, those who follow Ahl-Sunnah wal-jama'ah, if they get together and make a decision, that becomes the ijma'ah. God. So that is the majority of the Ummah, and that's how the 73 works. So these groups have divided in usul. So when the usul, like we say, amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi, these are articles of faith. Ye iman ki sari cheez hain. Isme agar koi farak karega, phir masla khada hota hai. That's when you say that this person, you will find fatwas against the groups, and a lot of this debate goes on. That's not our job to get into, but that's because they are messing with the fundamentals. On the other hand is the furu. For the furu, we have fiqh, different researches coming up, but the fundamentals are the same. About Allah, they have the same aqeedah. About Rasulullah, about angels, about, you'll say everything is same. No dispute there. The only differences come when, oh, how did Rasulullah pray salat? Okay, one research shows this way, another research shows this way. These are preferences. This is not a matter of fighting one another. This is something we have to learn. You know, we have to, you know, tolerance. It has to come in the furu'i masail. This is why scholars have said that there's a difference between ikhtilaf and mukhalifat. There's a difference between ikhtilaf and mukhalifat. Ikhtilaf has always been in the ummah. You know, Sahaba ikram also had differences of opinion, but mukhalifat means to stand up against another group, to take it in a way that you start fighting over it, right? One after another. So Sahaba ikram, they had respect for one another. The same steps were followed by the Aimma Arba. After that, people took the furu'i masail, where you're not supposed to have these kind of debates, they took it as something to debate over. You know, one sister had called me, she said that the husband told her to leave the house because she was praying salat differently. He said, agar tum mere nahi sunoge jis tarah main padhta hu waise tum padho. She said, no, you know, I went to Masjid Noor. So he said, I don't like Masjid Noor, they go in Jamaat and there. So so I said, call him here again, Masjid Noor nahi jana. Okay. So he said, okay, what should we do? He's saying, leave. Chale jao, agar namaz is tarah nahi padhenge toh. And we know when the salat comes, men and women will describe that there is a difference there. But it's not a matter to break up the nikah, right? So Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah, he was the father of Taqi Usmani Sahib Rahimullah. He had said, Taqi Usmani Sahib Daud Barakatuh, he said that if you're going to learn about fiqh, it's important to be like silk and not to be like a sword. When we learn something here, we learned it in this halaqa about fiqh, does not mean we go into other masajid and start pointing out their mistakes. We learned this from Mufti Shazasa Halqa, we learned this, you're wrong. This is what starts happening. As we educate ourselves, the next burai, the next negative aspect that comes is this. Then we start showing others that they do not know. So when people of the past learn, their tolerance was increasing as well. That okay, yes, our deen is very vast. I've understood it. This is to satisfy myself and to be firm on my deen. And that's how the quality of silk is, that it's very soft, but it's very firm at the same time. It cannot be ripped easily. Whereas the sword, wherever it goes, it's used to harm. So the scholars have said that learn is for our satisfaction, and at the same is not to go into other places and say you're wrong. The scholars will take care of the masses. They know how to do that. Okay, so we're moving on. So this is clear about the 73 groups. So we would have other names coming up in different times, but it falls under one of the group. It will just be a little bit of difference, but it's the same thing. So if you see a name that's not there and you heard of it in your country somewhere, if you find out about the beliefs, it'll be similar to one of these. Or they'll be completely Arab. They won't be claiming to be Muslim. Like there's Ahle Kitab, there's the atheists, right? This is within the Muslims. Like they're saying we're Muslim. And then they're breaking up. As far as the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah is concerned, the point of Sahaba is always going to be, that's how you distinguish. The scholars of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they always give preference to how the Sahaba took it from Rasulullah. This is how you will know. If a scholar is only talking about Hadith, he doesn't mention about narrations of Sahaba related to that Masla, that means he's just taking his own research from that Hadith. That I think that this Hadith means this and it should be followed this way. Whereas the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they will look into the life of Sahaba. What are the Sahaba saying? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew that this ikhtilaf will happen. And he had already put this question. He said in one hadith, سَأَلْتُ رَبِّي عَنْ اِخْتِلَافِ أَصْحَابِي مِنْ بَعْدِي. I had asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the ikhtilaf of my Sahaba after me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given a wahi. فَأُوحَى إِلَيَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me wahi that أَنَّهُ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَكَ عِنْدِي كَمَثَلِ النُّجُومِ. Your Sahaba, according to us, are like stars. وَلِكُلٍ فِيهِ نُورٌ. Each one of them has light. بَعْضُهُمْ أَقْوَى مِنْ بَعْضٍ. Some are stronger than others. There are one that has a lot of knowledge and practicing, the others will have less. But all of them, وَلِكُلٍ فِيهِ نُورٌ. There is light in every Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَمَنْ أَخَذَ مِنْهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ فَهُوَ عِنْدِي عَلَى هُدَى. Anyone who takes from them, he is on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. That's why it will indicate that to take from the Sahaba, it's coming on to the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, and he said, after me, لَا أَدْرِي قَدْرَ مَا فِيكُمْ. I don't know how long I will be staying with you. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِقْتَدَوْا الَّذِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. He indicated, وَأَشَارَ إِلَىٰ أَبِي بَكَرْ وَعُمَرْ. Indicated towards Abu Bakr Umar, کہ میرے بعد ان کی اقتداء کر لینا. Like, I don't know how long, میں کتنے دیر تمہارے ساتھ ہوں گا, لیکن میرے بعد ان کی انتقاء. What he did اشارہ towards Abu Bakr and Umar رضی اللہ عنہما. So Rasulullah said, had trained the Ummah that after me, there are people who can take care of my job and carry it on.
Just those who are not following these four imams and they want to go by themselves, which category they fall into?
When, I mean, the last session or the one before that, غير مقلدين. This is what we had talked about. Some of them, they have a particular, they are following one of the imam, but they don't want to declare it in that way. If you follow, if you ask them, how do you follow the, it's particularly the same way of how Imam Shafi has said it, or it's the same way of Imam Ahmad is saying it, or in one of the harams they are following, but the imams there are also muqallid. So they are just asking a scholar who is actually following another scholar. They are doing taqlid, but they don't want to claim it. They don't want to say that we're following something besides Rasulullah, because there's no way of following the deen without getting it from someone that knows more. It's not possible. So even the غير مقلد, they do follow some people and they will take the names of the same elders. So this is a point of dispute, that do we consider them from the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat? You will have difference of opinion there. But yes, Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat covers even the mujtahideen, that if they are following one of our elders and they are at the point that they stick and are sincere with it, then we hope from Allah that inshallah that we should not divide it further. But if you ask them the same question about people who do taqlid, they will say the same thing, that maybe they're not from the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. Why are they doing taqlid? It's a matter of understanding.
What about
Sahabiyas? So Sahabiyas, we see like Aisha radiallahu anha, many of the women Sahaba, they were also transferring the deen to the students, and many of Sahaba learned from Aisha radiallahu anha. So similar responsibilities, learning, preaching was going on both sides. So let's move on to the next point here about, this is where the book starts from. Tasilu Dururi is the book that we're doing this from, but I pointed out just some easy question answers. In the beginning of most of fiqh books, fiqh ki jo kitabein hoti hain, pehla jo chapter hota hai, it's always kitabut taharat. It's always about purification. And the reason they say is that because it comes before everything. Rasulullah said that for Jannah, the key of Jannah is Salat. The key of the Salat is wudu. So wudu is a form of taharat, is a form of purification. So you have to put this before. Even learning Salat is later, learning about Zakah is later, Hajj, everything later. First kitab al-taharat, how do you become pure? So what is the term used for purification? We see that the word is taharat. It means cleanliness, just to clean yourself in the literal form. Then the legal meaning is to remove any kind of impurification, any kind of najasat. Hadas-e akbar, hadas-e asghar, filth. I'll explain what that is in a little bit. So any najasat on the body, the place of salat or the clothes. To get rid of this, get out of this, is the process of taharat. Isko taharat kehte hain ke najasat ko apne aap se dur karna. Hadas-e akbar se nikalna, hadas-e asghar se nikalna, koi bhi najasat, jism, kapde ya namaz ki jagah par ho, se dur karna. That is what taharat is. Very very simple. So Rasulullah ﷺ had encouraged the tahar. Right when he was giving wahi in the beginning, Ya ayyuhal muddassir, qum fa'andir, wa rabbaka fakabbir, wa thiyabaka fatahir. In the very beginning, that clean your clothes. That cleans clothes have to be purified. So from there we see that from the beginning Allah is encouraging that you should be purified. That's why when a person accepts Islam, we encourage him to take a shower. So the purification process goes from the very beginning. Tahir, tahura, tahir means something which is pure itself. Mutahir means that it's pure and it also can pure other things. These are all the same words from tahara, these words come. So we should know that if something is tahir, this is tahir, that means it's clean on its own. But can it pure something else as well? Is it taharat hasil karte yani? That it will be a different subject. So it will mean that it's mutahir as well. Mutahir means dusri cheez ko bhi paak karna. So the tahir and mutahir, that's the difference there. When we learn about different types of waters, then we will know that some waters are clean, but they cannot give cleanliness. And then there are some waters that are clean and they can give cleanliness. Both. So Rasulullah ﷺ, many ayat were revealed. فِيهِ رِجَالٌ يُحِبُّونَ أَن يَتَطَهَرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. They found out about Sahaba, they were using water, they were using sand to clean themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this act, that in taharat you should go the extra mile to be extra cautious to get rid of any kind of najasat. Now we go into hadath akbar and asghar, very simple things. Okay, I've broken it down to very simple, like what is hadath akbar and what is hadath asghar. Hadath akbar from the word kabir, akbar, badi cheez. To jab badi kisam ki najasat hogi to usko hadath akbar kehte hain. Jab ghusl farz ho jata hai, when a man and woman are together and after the intimacy you have to take a shower, right? So that time is the state of janaba, you are in hadath akbar. Us halat mein hadath akbar kehte hain. Similarly, if somebody has a wet dream, this again, you have to take a shower, and there's nothing to be shy about when it comes to matters of deen. We should be very clear, and our questions can also rotate about around these subjects. We should know. We can't be in the dark just because we feel shy about some subjects. But very clear, that is also a state of hadath akbar. To remove major type of impurity, hadath akbar. Hadath asghar, saghir, small, choti cheez. I mean, jab wazu toot jaye, you're in the state of hadath asghar. Jab wazu toot jaye, when your wudu breaks, and we'll talk about in another chapter what are the things that break wudu, right? When the wudu breaks, then it becomes hadath asghar. You're in the state of hadath asghar ko dur karna hai, wazu karna hoga. Hadath akbar ko dur karna hai, ghusl karna hoga. Very simple. So washing particular whole body, of course, in ghusl of the whole body you're going to do, that's hadath-e-akbar. Poore jism ko achi tarah se dhona. And hadath-e-asghar is particular parts, that's wudu. How do we remove ourselves from hadath-e-asghar? In this book, the author went with doing the wudu explanation first, and then he goes into stinja later. Some places stinja come first and they do it the other way around. So when it comes to wudu, the wudu, where is it taken from? So in Surah Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, idha qumtum ila salah, faghsilu wujuhakum. When jab namaz ke liye khada ho, to apne chehre dho. Wa aydiyakum ila al-marafiqi. Your hands up to your elbows, with your elbows. Wamsahu bi ru'usikum, and do masah of your heads. Wa arjulakum ila al-ka'bain, wash your feet. The whole ayat is there. We don't have to go into too much description. Surah Ma'idah ki ayat number 6 mein pure wudu ka tariqa bata diya gaya ki ye cheezein, this is the bare minimum. Ye cheezein farayz mein hai. Iske bagair kaam nahi chalega. That's why we're not doing sunnah today. We're just going to do the bare minimum, that if we are in a tight timing, very small time left, or we don't have enough water, right? So we should know that kam az kam farayz mein kar lo, now I can pray, right? So that's why we're going to do the farayz today. And it's taken directly from the Quran, the ayat 6 of Suratul Ma'idah. So the types of wudu, I'm going to write those on the board, inshallah, so we can see. There is different types. Wudu is not always farz. Wudu ke mukhtalif shaklein ho sakti hain. So let's take the first one is when wudu will be farz. So if a person has discharge of gas, discharge of urine, discharge of defecation, anything like that, then your wudu breaks, obviously. So Farad wudu is when you don't have wudu and now you have to pray salat. So you at this time the wudu is farz for you. Is waqt wudu farz hoga. In namaz padni hai, wudu nahi hai. Pretty obvious and easy. Then we have wajib. One is wudu wajib. This is when we have the tawaf, the wudu that is done for tawaf, that wudu is considered to be wajib and not farz. And that's a whole masla regarding the difference of Imam Abu Hanifa and others. But in the Hanafi fiqh, the wudu that is done in tawaf, it's a wajib wudu. Okay, then we have mustahab, mandub, any of those words, nafil, I can write mandub up here. So, sometimes to do wudu is mustahab. Let's say you already have wudu and then you prayed maghrib. Now isha time comes and you make another wudu, that's a mustahab wudu. At that time is not farz, but uswakat mustahab. And Rasulullah would instruct this, that lola nashuqa ala ummati, if it was not hard for the ummah, I would la amartuhum al wudu bi kulli salatin, that they should do wudu in every salat. It was one of the instructions. So wudu for every salat, it can be said to be a sunnah or a light act for every salat. Okay. Another example of this is that when we take into effect of reading hadith. Now, Quran, for Quran, it's farz. You have to have wudu. You cannot touch the Quran without wudu. But for hadith books, scholars have said that for hadith books, it is preferred to do wudu. Imam Malik, rahmatullahi, before he would quote the chain of the hadith and make wudu again. Right? So that's a mandu, mustahab amal hai. Rasulullah when he would be in the state of janaba, that means he just was with his wife and now he has to take farz ghusl. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that if he wanted to eat in that state or he wanted to go to sleep, so he would make wudu and then eat or sleep. So that time is also a mustahab act that we can learn in arat mein. We can always take a shower immediately, right? We can take it before the next prayer. But to stay in that state of janaba is not good. So at least do the wudu. So Rasulullah would do miswak and he would do wudu. Even if he wanted to go to a different wife or wanted to have intimacy again, wudu would be in the middle, right? So this is something many of us don't know, but it was taught as a mustahab amal. Similarly, when a person is extremely angry, so the hadith say that if you're angry, then you should do wudu. So again, at that time, it will be mustahab. So wudu us waqt mustahab hota hai, gusse ki halat mein wudu karne se gussa thanda ho jata, right? So similarly, janabat ki halat mein, agar aadmi ne sona ho ya khana ho na khana ho, to wudu karna chahiye. Then we have makruh. One is wudu makruh. This is when you have just made wudu and after that you didn't pray any salat and again you're going to do wudu. Koi amal nahi kiya aur phir dobara se wudu kar. Like in like the hotter areas, Pakistan, India, people, I know very many students, again they would do wudu just to feel cold. But scholars have said that you can't keep doing wudu because it will go for israf if you're not doing any ibadat with it. Right? So pani zaya hoga. So isliye kam az kam ek namaz kehte hain pad leni chahiye. Ek wudu ke sath ek namaz pad li phir dobara se wudu kar le. But ye nahi ki wudu pe wudu kar rahe hain. So that would be israf and that's why it's considered disliked makruh. Then we have haram. When is wudu haram? In this state is when a person is doing wudu, but he is doing with water that he has stolen from someone. This is a lesson to learn for all of us, that you're doing something good, lekin uski bunyad kya hai? Haram. To achhi cheez ki bunyad bhi agar buri ho, to wo buri, achhi cheez bhi buri ho jati. Right? It's very important. Now, this is how our deen works. If something is haram, let's say you have haram income. After that, you're taking haram income, then you're buying halal food, you're doing halal things, but the effect of that will carry on. It's not just one ruling. It will mean that everything you're nourished with that money will also start becoming the same. So haram, now a person will say, one is wudu haram. If you take water from somebody, you steal it from someone, right? And then you're doing wudu. So because of the action of that wudu, the basic is haram, so the wudu becomes haram, stolen water. Okay, so these are just things to know that when is wudu what? Ruling of wudu.
Is it only one example of haram wudu or there's
Well, if you have a particular question, I can give you
the answer. I'm just saying, like, it's a stolen word.
Yeah, if there is, if there's wrong involved in the action, so amal khud acha ho, lekin usme koi burai karte hue aap kar rahe hain. Right? You're misusing your eyes while doing wudu. Again, it's going to be what type of misusing it will be. So stealing itself is haram. We don't even call it makruh. So then, so it will mean what case? Ji. Ji, what?
Wasting water.
So wasting water, it starts off with being makruh. Israf, pani zaya karna, makruh ke hukum hai. But if you continue doing it, then it will go makruh tahrimi, and some have even said haram. Some places they have limited, so it won't even be makruh, it will be haram, because you're destroying the right of others, that 10 people have to do wadu for me and you're just taking your time. Yes.
So there's two things about wuzu kind of always been confused. Mm. One is about the air,
right,
and the other about doing wuzu with socks. So
right,
like in a usual routine, get up in the morning, you shower, mm-hmm, you do wudu after the shower, mm-hmm, put your socks on, you go to work. Now it's time to pray Zohar. One, again, the socks part, you have to take socks off from morning, and similarly with the hair, you have to wet.
Yes, so we're going to come to, that's number three, masah of the head. So when we do masah of the head, it's not really washing the head. It's only 1/4 of it. I'll explain it in detail when it comes. But one thing that I noticed in your question, that you said wudu after the ghusl, that's incorrect. The best way, the sunnat way of doing ghusl will be that during the ghusl, you're going to start off with the wudu, if you have enough time. But if the person just does the farais and he washes his whole body, he didn't do everything of the wudu, it's automatically included and you don't have to do an extra wudu.
What about janabat ghusl in Ramadan?
Ji.
You can eat sari.
Yes, in the sari time, the scholars have said that it's not good to start your fast this way. But technically, if the question is that, is it would the fast be right or wrong? So fast is still invalid. Roza ho sakta hai is halat mein. Sari kar sakte hain. Lekin bura samjha jata hai ki wo mubarak waqt hai. It's a thing that angels are coming. And a person is in janabat, angels don't come close soon. Right? Duaen kubool nahi ho rahi. So itne tahajjud ka waqt hota hai, sari ka waqt. So it's not the best way of doing it. You got late for some reason, you started off your fast in a state of janabat, it's roza nahi tootega, you have your fast there. It's not the best way of doing. So let's go into the farais. I think they're all related to the farais. Very simple. The ayat says, "Faghsilu wujuhakum." First thing is washing up the face. And now the face, the limits, scholars have said, is from the hairline, from going up to down, balon ki line. And this does not mean if you don't have hair, your face is going to start from somewhere, right? It doesn't mean that. The expected area up there, jahan se samjha jata hai ki baal the ya honge, that's where your hairline is, right? So even if your body, you know that where your hairline is. So from the hairline all the way under your chin. So how do we measure under the chin? Whatever is parallel to our lower teeth, iske niche jitni jagah hai, that's how much the lower area of the chin is. And remember, this is bare minimum. Ye sabse kam az kam jitna hai na karna ka hai. Agar isse zyada karenge phir wo sunnat mein wo baatein aayengi ki kitne. So from the top to bottom, hairline to under the chin, left to right, you go with the earlobes. Very simple, from here to here. So now, when we're washing, one time you have to wash is farz. So when we're washing, we don't just take water and scrub it on our face. Some people in the sink, they do this. The best way and the encouraged way of washing the face is to flow the water from the top to the bottom. Bani behna chahiye. The word is used as ghasal. And in Arabic, ghasal means to wash something, not to wipe it. And washing has drops. So they said that kam az kam qatre giren, ek ya do qatre giren. So when we're flowing the water from the top, you have to let it go from the top and then move your hand with it. So washing takes place, or pani ka us azu ke upar bahana. That's very important to understand. It's not just taking water and wiping it. So this is going to include our eyebrows. Okay, this area has to be clean. In the morning time, we clean this area. But you don't have to take water inside the eyes. That's not necessary. necessary of the farz. Similarly, the lips, the inside of the lip, kulli karne mein wo jayega, but from the faraiz, it's the upper area. These are the limits for the bare minimum of the face. So the Quran starts out with this by saying, faghsilu wujuhakum, go ahead and wash your faces. Then we have the second one, wa aydiyakum ila al maraf. Okay, the face we understood. The, sabko aana chahiye ye cheezein, we all of us should know this. Okay, second is the hands up to the elbows. The Quran has used the letter ilal marafiqi, and usually ilal means the up to, right? So do we include the elbows or not? Then we have to turn to the ahadith of Rasulullah. Then whenever Rasulullah would do the hands, he also included the elbows. So that clarifies for us, a pura haath dhona hai from the fingertips going down, again flowing the water, pani lekar usse bahana hai, not taking and rubbing. Okay, so pani lekar bahayenge to uske upar se jayega, and then you have at least two drops that would fall off, and doing it once is farz. This is no difference with the sisters. They can also understand the farais. There's no arguments here. So with the hands, on the fingertips, sometimes we have longer nails. Okay, so we have to understand this point, that if the nails are long, you have to reach in, clean that area. First of all, we should be cutting our nails every 2 weeks, you know, or at least do it on Fridays, every Friday. That's the best way. You won't have any najasat hiding here and there. But sometimes we have longer nails, so the water has to reach all of that area. Any area that covers our body, you have to remove. If you have a bandage and it's dried up, now remove it. But if there is a reason, then that will come later on, and you can do masha over the bandage. For nails, when we have smaller nails, if it's cut and there's something small left, then if it's too difficult to get it out, then scholars have taken the flexibility there that, okay, you tried your best. But it shouldn't be long. It shouldn't have so much blackness and stuck in it that water is not penetrating. So that's part of washing our hands up to the elbows. Ke pure haath nakhun ke andar samet sara hissa jo hai wo ek dafa dhona farz hai. The hadith of Usman radiallahu anhu, there's hadith of Amr ibn Abbas. I cut all of that out. The sahaba, their statements are there. We saw Rasulullah do it this way, or they would call each other and say, let me show you how Rasulullah did his wudu, and they would practically do it like that. Then we have the next thing is the wiping, the masha of the head. Rasulullah says, Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, one hadith says that he did masa to the amount of his forehead. Ye jitni peshani hai, itna hissa unhone masa kiya. So, aap sahisam ke itna hissa karna, if we measure it, it comes out to 1/4 of the head. Ke agar sar ke char hisse kare, to ek hisse pe aap sahisam ne masa kiya tha. So, 1/4 of the head, that's the bare minimum. So, one hadith points out that Rasulullah sahisam kept his imama on, and he did the masa from within. That means he didn't do the whole head. It was just the front part, when we can just reach it without taking out the whole imama. How much was the limit? So, binasiyatihi. Masaha binasiyatihi. This is how it's measured. That jitni aapki peshani thi, utna hissa aap sallam ne masa kiya. Now, there are other hadiths that point out that he did the whole head as well. So, that's how we prove the sunnat. When we do the sunnat of wudu, we will find Rasulullah sallam did also masa of the whole head. So, in masa, the difference is that you're going to take water and drop it. You're not going to take the water onto the head. So pani lenge haath mein gira denge, phir geele haathon se kya karna hai, geele haathon se phir masa karna hai, geele haathon se. That's it. That means just touching it lightly. The scholars have said light touch is also enough. So we don't have to worry about this issue too much, that pura hissa sar kitna hua, the front area amount, this much, if it's covered, then your masa is covered. Now how to do it, some scholars, they say this way, this way, this way, this way. There is no ahadith that point out the exact descriptions of the hands of Rasulullah. There is no hadith. The hadith says either this much or full head, right? So then scholars say, if you do it this way, you won't forget any area. It automatically is in the system. Your hand will touch the whole head. But 1/4 is the bare minimum. That's for the farz. So iska masa wamsahu bi ruusikum. The Quran says that do masa of your heads. Then we have the last one, which is the feet. Now the washing of the feet, it includes all of the toes. So you start in your foot with your left hand. With your left hand, you're going to go through each toe. Har ungli ke beech mein bhi pani pahunchana hai. That's why I put at the end that even if it's one spot of hair left, it's not valid. Wazu nahi hua, right? We have to be careful with that. So we're going to go through every finger and make sure that the water is reaching. Similarly for the hands, make sure it's reaching. So the feet as well, but with the left hand, you'll go throughout both feet. Okay? So usme, the ankles, again, the Quran says, ilal ka'bain, but it means that it is included. Rasulullah says some ahadith are there. Amr ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says that Rasulullah washed his, and he included the ankles in washing the feet as well. Now, the problem which we have here is that when, let's say we're learning about wudu, but we see somebody who is doing it wrong while in the wudu area. So that, again, it comes into a furu'i masla. It's not something to fight over. So I have to come up with the idea how I can explain to this brother that he's going to pray his salah this way. If it's somebody older than you or a respectful individual, it's best not to confront that issue. It's going to make it worse. It's better for some alim, somebody who's elderly in the community, tell them to speak to this person that he's doing his wudu wrong, and pyar mohabbat se samjha de. That's very important. We can actually have opposite effect. Agar seedha ja ke agar koi bachcha bade ko bolega ki main abhi ye seekh kar aaya hu, aap ye nahi dhote, aapka wudu nahi hua, it's possible that the person went blow up. So the beautiful hadith incident of Hassan and Hussein radhiyallahu anhu, they saw an elderly doing it wrong, so they said, come uncle, come with us, both of us will do wudu. We're having a dispute, look at our wudu. If it is correct, then we can learn from you. So he saw both of their wudu and he said, no, you are correct, I'm the one that's wrong. So that was hikmat of the grandsons of Rasulullah. So up to here, are we clear now about the farais and ji?
So regarding the face, if you have a beard, what do you do?
When the beard is there, you're going to, in the sunnah, you're going to cover the whole beard. You're going to do khilal of the beard. That means go through with your fingers into the beard. Washing area, again, this much area has to be washed. So that means this sides, right? It's important. Okay, this area, thoda sa bhi khushk reh gaya, wazu nahi hua, right? So go take water again and do it. Continue until you know that all of this is washed. It has to come under the ruling of being washed. Yeah.
What about the right and left?
Yes, that will come in sunnats, that which side to start from, right hand, left hand, washing the hands first, step by step. There's 13 sunnats, inshallah, probably in the next session we're going to do those. But when we're in, let's say we're traveling, right, or we have a little bit of water, then just do the farais and pray. We should not think about, oh, mujhe kulli teen dafa karni hai, teen dafa naak mein pani dalna hai, pura sar ka masak, itna pani to hai nahi mere paas. Right, chhod bin namaz baad. Look at the way I can get it in somehow, right? So I can just do the farais. Just take the water. You know, one of my scholar, he used my teacher. He would say, "Ek lote mein bhi pura ghusl bhi ho sakta hai." If you really look at the bare minimum, it's possible. I'm not saying to go into that, trying that, but try your best. You know. So in safar, this water is a lot for doing the farais, right? Yeah, so if you're feeling cold, rest areas, I mean rest areas honge, rest areas mein kar lein, or if the coldness is such that you're going to get sick or you have sickness and it will increase, then the scholar will give the ijazat for tayammum. Ji.
You know, in the last of Gala merger, you know, like Dara Hijra, you know, Chantali, there, I mean, too many people praying around the world. So what do you feel about that?
In detail, it will go and come in its place about awqat of salat. But if you're just asking a question, we cannot pray Jummah at that time. We tried contacting. Shirley Gate was doing this once as well. They said they can't. They have a parking problem. So other reasons are there. But if you just say Islamically, can it be done? No. That's the answer there. You can't pray. The time for Jummah is same as time for Zuhr. It's the same time. But on Jummah, you're praying Jummah instead of the Zuhr prayer. So you can't say that on Jummah I'm going to pray before the Zuhr time. So Zawal se pehle Jummah nahi hota, uske baad hi hota. And they refer it to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimullah, one of his sayings. But again, that was a conditional saying. It's not to be taken out of context.
Ji. So just for clarity, if you go on a shower, you automatically have wuzu. You don't have to do it again.
Ji. So there's one way of doing farz ghusl that is also coming up. You're going to just do three things, but sunnat ghusl covers everything. You're washing your hands, you're doing wudu, and you're doing the whole body, so right, then left, and turning around. So if a person just does takes a shower, then yes, his wudu is automatically intact because of that. Yeah, we're following the book tartib. So if you have this book with you, this is what we're following, Tasilu Zururi. Yeah, so they have started with wudu, and istinja as well is later. So,
just going back to this question about socks, wearing socks, like if you wear socks in the morning after the ghusl, so, and you have to do wudu again for your. Can you just, like, some, be a word around the different.
Oh, masa on regular. So the question is about masa on regular socks. No, you can't do it on regular socks. It has to be either leather socks, or now they have waterproof socks. You can find those online. Those can be used, but regular socks, masa is invalid. That means you have to take them off and wash your feet. Until that happens, wudu is not. Ji. So tayammum is a replacement of ghusl. The question is, what is tayammum? So tayammum is a replacement. In this same ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً. If you don't find water, or you don't have ability for using the water, then tayammum ki baat aayegi, that what are the faraiz tayammum? You're going to use dust or dirt. It's taken from the earth as a replacement for water. And it's very simple process. Inshallah, we'll do that in the future. But tayammum is a replacement of the wudu or the ghusl. ठीक है इंशाल्लाह जी क्वेश्चन ले वजू के अंदर सॉक्स के अंदर
एक उसको अगर आप नमाज जो है वो
कज़ा में कर
रहा था जी जी जगह नहीं है ऐसे क्या तो उस सूरत में व्हाट डू बेस्ट
सो जस्ट द फीट यू कैन डू. So the question is, if time is running out and you can't wash the feet? Restroom, if it's restroom ka pucha. In rest areas, restrooms, I mean, people that are looking might have problem, but it's allowed to do it. You just have to be really clean. At workplace. So at workplace, if we get those socks, that's the best way of doing it. But if time is running out, again, you can't leave out any farz. You have to still do it the right way. So our planning should be that I start earlier and get the salat done. But if I finish my wudu, four things, wash your feet and time runs out. So you have to do qaza.
No, it's not running out of time. Like at my work, the sink's where we do wudu normally.
Sink.
Yeah, mm. Too high.
Ji ji.
Ji ji ji.
Right. So what about the water bottles? If we can use them either on the toilet or in the parking lot, you have to see, there has to be some way. It'll be a little bit more difficult, obviously. But
how is it permissible with those leather socks?
So leather socks, there's a hadith clearly about those leather socks, khuffain, they're known as khuffain. And one whole chapter is going to be about this, masha al khuffain, Rasulullah had leather socks. So if it's done by the Prophet, we don't go into much, okay, that's fine. The other ones that are the waterproof socks, they are fulfilling the conditions that scholars have put down, that is, it's thick enough, the water doesn't go through, and you can even use it for walking without shoes for a good amount of miles. So there's some conditions there, inshallah, when that comes up, but not for regular socks. Even if they're fat, the ones from Costco, those fat ones, no, you can't do a masa on that. Ji.
First, you said if I need to touch Quran, I have.
Ji, ji, ji.
What about if you're reading by heart?
If you read by heart, if you are in the state of Hadas Akbar, that means you have to do ghusl, so you can't even recite the Quran. The same goes for the sisters, if they are in the state of impurity, the monthly cycle is going on, us halat mein Quran nahi pad sakte. But if it's for hadas-e-asghar, then you have to do wudu and then touch the. But to just read the Quran and you're in the state of hadas-e-asghar, that means janabat nahi hai, napak nahi hai, wudu sirf toota hai. So wudu toota hai, zabani Quran pad sakte. You can still read it with your tongue, inshallah.
Lambo. Inshallah. If you're going to speak, you have to be able to, or you can just
Tasbih you can do, inshallah. Even in janabat, you can do regular zikr. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhab an-nar. Ya Allah, hamare gunahon ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, jitne bhai behan aa rahe hain pabandi se aa rahe hain, ya Allah, in sab ke gunahon ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, is halqe ki barkat se, ya Allah, hidayat ki hawaon ko aam farma. Ya Allah, jo masail seekhe ja rahe hain, sikhaye ja rahe hain, ya Allah, is pe amal ki taufeeq naseeb farma. Ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah, dono jahan mein kamyabi naseeb. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله. Yeah, any other question, they can personally just talk to me.
I want to say, from next time, like, whatever the subject you were putting,
the question to the, I was going to. I know.